a forge today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that your hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. Troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing, until then with joy I'll carry. Behold the city until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we they're borrowed for a while, and the things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remembered there, will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until till then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
All right. Amen. I hope you can hear me okay. Let me know if you can. I just thought it's been a while, and I had some people messaging me and stuff like that, some brothers, and I thought I'd come on and just kind of give you an update and talk to you a little about my adventures here in the last couple days, and also to give you some good Bible devotion here today. It won't be a super long broadcast or anything like that. I got to get to going for a walk and praying and then jumping in my deer blind, and I'll tell you kind of about what happened here yesterday to me, which is a good humiliating lesson. Humility is good. And it's good for the soul. It helps us to be able to learn and to grow. And sometimes we learn best when we're humbled. And, you know, just like I'll kind of explain to you a little bit about what I'm talking about. First, I'll say hi to everybody here who's on here. Becca got on first. She beat everybody. And then Brandon Swanson, he chimed in. And then, obviously, Big Whale, alias Big Whale. And then my wife is on here. And then Jacob Terry. Let's see. Danny Callahan. Brother Scott jumped on there. Dick Nixon. Norma Jean, haven't seen you on here in a while. Kelly, good to see you on here. All right. So, you know, I know this is an awkward time here, but I thought I'd come on here and just get on here quickly and talk about a few things and give you kind of a Bible devotion, something to think about for the day. And then, you know, I'll be out of here, but I think it'll be helpful to kind of bring you up to speed on some things and kind of let you know, and use this time because God always allows preachers to use their things that happen to them and as examples of good Bible lessons. Joe, how you doing? Good to see you on here, Joe. And I am going to go shoot a deer. Lord willing, I'll tell you what happened. Are you ready? Let me tell you what happened, all right? So, I'm just giving people a chance to get on here so you can listen to my story. My wonderful story here. So, here's what happened. I went back to a blind that I haven't been in like a week and a half. Okay? So, I get into this blind. Erica, how you doing? Kelly J, Erica J. Erica, how's that keto coffee treat ya? Hopefully it's getting you back on track there with everything. Ah, that holiday food will get you, man. But anyway, good morning, Jacob. I knew you'd be doing way better, Erica. I knew you would be. By about Wednesday, I said that. You know, about by Wednesday, you'll be doing pretty good. Peter! I don't know where Carl Winters is or Mary. They're off the island. They're locked up in the basement somewhere. That's what's going on with Carl and Mary. All right, back to my story. So I hadn't been in this blind for like a week or so. So the wind was right, so they wouldn't smell me. So I went in this blind. And right now, this is the second. This is the black powder season. It's kind of a mini rut that they'll be in, so they'll be moving a little bit more than what they normally would be. And so I get in the blind and sit there, get in there about noon. I got in there early because I wanted to make sure I got in there early. Because you don't want them to see you getting it, walking in there. It's like, hey, remember, like when you're hunting deer, you're like right in their living room. Like this is their home. It's where they live. So just like you would notice something off in your house, they notice something off in theirs. So you got to be careful. It's not like those places where you just dump a bag of corn in the field and then they just walk up and you shoot them. No, this is not shooting. This is actually hunting. So, and it's cold here. Like today's not bad. Today's good. And yesterday was good. Yesterday morning, stinking freezing. It was 10 degrees when I went out yesterday morning. Man, was it cold. So I got in there at noon, sat down there, looked around. It was quiet. Usually what I've tracked these deer in that place, I've hunted there a lot over the last couple weeks. And last year I hunted there once. Usually these deer come out around 3 o'clock. Something happens at about 3 o'clock, 3 to 3:30, anytime between there. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I look up there and then one comes out of the woods and then another one comes out of the woods and they're all cautious, you know. Then another one comes out of the woods. And then another one comes out of the woods. Five of them. And right about there, because I haven't seen a deer in like a week that was close to me. Last week, I took my son out on Saturday. And there were 12 deer all the way in the field. Not shootable. I couldn't believe it. Man, I'll tell you. So now I finally see some. And they're getting in range for me to shoot. And there's a lot of good lessons about patience in the Bible. And this is like, I thought about this in like the Christian life. The Bible says, in your patience possess ye your souls. And, you know, you can do a lot of things right in this Christian life. You can do a lot of things right. But then you can kind of mess it all up with a lack of patience. You know? You can kind of mess it all up by not being patient. And that's kind of what I did. I kind of got over anxious. You know, Philippians 4:6 talks about that. Be careful for nothing. What that means is, well, don't be, that doesn't mean in the modern vernacular where we take it is, Well, no, don't be careful. So, like, leave a loaded gun around. No, that's not what it's talking about. When it says be careful for nothing, it means don't be over careful. Don't be anxious. And it's so easy to get anxious in life. In our Christian life, it's so easy for us to get anxious. You know, to become over anxious quickly. And it's funny because when I saw him, I started getting really anxious. And, you know, my heart starts beating faster. I'm getting anxious. I didn't shoot him right when I seen him or anything like that. I waited for a while, but not long enough. You know, hunting is such, it's so much like life, because the interesting thing is that, like, the closer you get to situations and things, the more things that you go through, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I don't want to miss an opportunity, so I'm going to jump on it now. Well, sometimes that's right. At other times, it's wrong. That's why we always need the mind of the Lord with everything that we do. And because, like, with that, with this situation here, I jumped the gun, no pun intended. I jumped the gun too quickly. And then what happened is I lost in the end with it. But it's not a total loss. I learned a lot. I learned some good things. Oh, yeah. Things that I'll never forget. And so here they come down the way. They're walking along a little bit slowly. They look like they're going to go back into the woods and then be gone, right? So I definitely don't want that to happen after sitting there all day. Because I know in that place that once they come out at 3 and they leave, they're not coming back. The end of the hunt's at like 5 o'clock. That's like 5:04 is sundown or whatever. Or, I mean, a half an hour after sundown. So you can't shoot anymore. So, they're all 5 in that field, and they're walking along. And they were coming right towards me. They couldn't smell me at all. But I got over anxious. You know, I got over anxious. It is so similar to life in that sense. Because we have all these situations and these scenarios in front of us. And if we're not careful, we have something that's thrown at us and we're going to react too quickly to it. We end up reacting very quickly to something. And haste makes waste, right? Sometimes you have to react quickly. This buck that I shot 2 weeks ago, he was going to leave right away. I mean, I could tell he was gone. He wasn't going to stay there. And as much as I know, anyway. So I clipped him right in the spine and dropped him right away. But the thing is that in this scenario, I should have waited for him to come closer to know what I was dealing with, to know the timing of it, to have it ranged properly. Some of that you're only going to get through experience and knowledge. Some of things in life that nobody's really going to be able to teach you besides experience. Now, I'm not talking about getting into wicked sin and stuff like that. What I'm talking about is just some of life's experiences. Sometimes we want to shield people from experience and we can't. We can help shield them from sin and we can advise them on sin. But in certain situations, we're not going to be able to do that. You can't shield people from experience. Sometimes they got to experience things in order to learn from them. You know, sometimes that's the best way. Experience is a great instructor. Now, with this, I learned some things. Having gone through it before, you learn. You learn to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove in life. But wise as a serpent. You know, serpents are careful only to strike at the right time. Not to be hasty. You know, and that's one of the lessons there is being hasty quickly, too quickly, you know, you can get yourself in trouble. You can lose out. And that's what happened in this situation to me, because in they come closer and I hadn't ranged how far they were. Took my shot, had the crosshairs on, took my shot, but they were too far away for where I placed my crosshairs. And I ended up missing the mark. Missing the target. And had I waited, but not knowing that as much because I don't have that much experience. Not waiting long enough, not being patient enough. It cost me. It cost me by being hasty. So there's another lesson here. So not just hasty, but also life lessons, humility. Patience is one, but humility is another. God uses things to give us humility. And humility is a good teacher. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know, so when you think about it, humility is such a good teacher to us. Let me share something with you and explain to you something about this. I'm 44 years old. I hunted years ago and just couldn't get it, and I quit, and I never got a deer, and I just quit, and I let it sit for like 3 or 4 years. 4 years probably, and didn't do anything with it and just didn't go back out. And Lee was like, you know, you should go back out and go hunting. I was like, eh. So I went out last year. Now, the interesting thing is after I had been through anxiety and depression and other things, it kind of slowed me down a lot to cause me to reflect, to not react to things so soon. It humbled me and taught me some lessons to kind of like be calmer in that sense. And God used that, those things that happened to me in my life, to humble me. So humility is very important. So when I explain to you this thing of hunting, it's not something that I'm natural at. Being out, I didn't grow up being outdoors and doing any of that stuff. I grew up with none of that. So I'm like, I'm a 44-year-old man learning something completely out of my nature. So it becomes very humbling. You know, I had to learn to shoot guns better. So I bought guns, shot them, went to the range, learned how to shoot better, learned how to, you know, sight things in, learned how to do all those things to be a pretty good shot with things. That was part of it. The other part was just me being able to slow down, being able to have patience to even sit there that long to wait for something to happen. So God used the experiences of my life to humble me. And this is one of those humiliating experiences. And I'm talking about it because I'm not ashamed of it. I'm learning to hunt at like 44 because I want to teach my son how to do it. So I'm not like super confident and knowledgeable about it. You know, so it changes. Those are lessons in humility. And like yesterday, messing that up, I was so angry with myself. I was just mad at myself. And before that would send me down, you know, during the last 3 years, the stuff that I had been through, it would send me down into like anxiety and almost like depression. But the Lord has delivered me from a lot of that over the last couple months. So my natural bent isn't to go that way now as it was during some of the most severe times of that. Thank the Lord for that. But I had to learn Thanks, Dad. Dad's watching here. Probably in between his breaks here he's got at work. But I love you, Dad. I appreciate you. So I'm teaching, I'm trying to teach my son. So, you know, and that's what my wife told me. She's like, you know, and other hunters, hey, listen, Lee's an experienced hunter. And, you know, and he told me the same thing, that it happens to him sometimes. And it does. And I understand that. But when you sit out there all day and you put all that time in and everything else, and then it doesn't come to fruition, you get upset. And but I had to just admit that it's all new to me, and I'm learning. And I shot two last year, and I shot one so far this year, and I'm confident I'll get another one. You know, but they came in. I didn't wait for them to come in closer. I should have, but it's knowing distance and timing, the right time to strike, the right time to learn, the right time to react to something. I was so excited that the plan worked. I hadn't went to that blind for a while. I was quiet. I sat there. I'm encouraged by those things. And then out come these five deer. So it's kind of neat that happened that way. But it goes to show you that you could do all those things right, and a lack of patience can mess things up. That experience teaches you to wait. When patience has her perfect work. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, experience teaches you some of those things, and patience teaches you some of those things. Teaches you humility. Like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just going to keep going. After my initial stubborn feeling sorry for myself for a little while, you know, I learned, okay, well, you know, and I talked to Lee about it. He was like, well, this is what you did wrong, and this is how this went, and that's kind of how that went, and this is what you have to do, and you have to know your land and know the distances of the things that you have and have landmarkers for where you can shoot when you see a deer and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, some of those good lessons, they're good for you. They do build character. You know, they teach you not to quit, not to give up, to keep going. There's a lot of good lessons of humility in that. But see, here's the thing. It's not just patience, but it's also humility. It's learning, being able to admit, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying. Someday I'll know more. Like we sing that song, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, you do understand it better as you grow and as you learn, right? You understand things a lot better with experience, and then you know not to make those mistakes as you made before. You know that I better not do that because I know what I can do. You know, so humility is an excellent teacher. And God taught me a lot of that in the ministry by showing me and allowing me to be broken down to where he could use me more for his glory. Lest I be exalted above measure, God put that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to teach me humility and dependence on the Lord. You know, Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but having showed you and having taught you publicly and from house to house. So you learn, you know, you learn some humility by failure. Failure teaches us humility. It teaches us lessons about life. So a simple thing is hunting like that. It teaches us humility. You know, it teaches us to learn and to grow. Paul says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So, when we're humbled like that, it teaches us some very valuable lessons. And this is one of those things that, like, I don't have down and I'm not, like, super good at, and I don't have it all figured out. You know what I mean? I don't have it all figured out and I'm not really good at it, and it's out of my comfortability level. It'd be easier for me just to quit it, not do it, do my broadcast 3 times a week, not change my schedule for it, and not do it. But I just don't believe the Lord wants me to do that. I believe the Lord wants me to labor through that. Amen, big whale. One day we'll all be together in heaven. rejoicing in the Lord. Our pilgrimage will be over. And it says here, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, of the Lord, doth man live. You know, God does things to humble us, to make us dependent on him. I remember right before I shot that deer 2 weeks ago, I remember some does went through and I missed them. Or I didn't shoot at them, but I didn't get them. I didn't think I could get to them. So I didn't take the shot. And I remember praying to the Lord and asking God specifically to do something for me, to direct that deer right there, to give me swiftest of shot and everything, and to make it happen. I prayed very specifically. Right after I did, it wasn't but a half an hour, the Lord brought one out right, boom, right there. And that's because in all things, God wants me to be dependent upon him. Dependent upon him. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. So God uses humility and humbling. It says here, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Look, it says here, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself not. So he humbled himself not for the pride of his heart, and things didn't go out well for him. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. You see, God uses humility to bless us. He'll allow things to happen. He'll allow us to go through things. He'll use humility to bless us. Says here, his prayer also, and how God was entreated of him in all his sin and his trespass, in the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the, that was Manasseh's humility. And when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. God saves the humble person. And that, in that sense, can be eternal life, or it can be save them from the distress that they're in. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, for he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. It's really a good thing to admit sometimes, I have no idea what I'm doing. Lord, I need your help. I don't know what I'm going to do. Or when you go to others that you need help from, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. Right? It's good to do that sometimes. Sometimes we got to do that. Sometimes we got to just admit to the Lord and humble ourselves and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are following the Lord and we say, I don't know what to do. Would you pray for me? I don't know what to do. God's attracted to that humility. God's attracted to weakness. He has none. God has all strength. He has no weakness. So when he sees your weakness, he wants to pour strength on it. That's how God is. He's so gracious and loving and kind and merciful that he pours out all he has is might and strength. God has no weakness in him. So when he sees weakness, he's attracted to it and he strengthens the humble. He strengthens it because God is all power. So he gives might to those that are in weakness. Right? He pours out his strength to them. He gives might to them for the fight. That's right. He is all we need. That's right. David cries out, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. God will bless your humility. He always blesses humility. Afflictions work patience. Patience works humility in us. The trials work that humility into us, and then we're able to learn better. It's amazing how well you and I learn when we're humbled. We can see things that we've never seen before when we're humbled. I can tell you that I read the Psalms before I went into serious anxiety and depression a few years back. I read the Psalms. I read the whole Bible over and over again. Read different portions tons of times. But the Psalms became more alive to me when I was humbled. And the Psalms gave me an increase of a dependence upon God when I was humbled. Look at this verse here. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. So see, let that be a lesson to us. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Amen, big whale. Amen. The Lord teaches us to love. And he used humility to teach me to love more. See, I hadn't been through the trials that other people had been through like that. I'd been through a lot of trials in the ministry, but nothing that broke me inside like that, so devastatingly. But when that chain of events happened years ago that caused that, then a couple years back, like 2.5, 3 years ago, boom, it hit me. And then I was the one that was shattered in that sense. And the Lord put the pieces back together. And he used his word. He used humility. He used the Psalms. He used all those things to strengthen my heart and to put me where I needed to be. That's what we want. We want to be marvelously helped. Marvelously helped. Until he was strong. Amen, Big Will. I love you as much as I know how to, as much as I can. You know, it says he was marvelously helped until he was strong. That's what you and I want. We want to be marvelously helped . Let's look what that word means. Oops. In a wonderful, strange, exciting wonder. A degree of surprise, right? Surpassing, incredible, wonderfully, exceedingly helped till he was strong. I think of I've got some memorization verses that I do with the children for Baptist history. And the Bible tells us, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Look at this. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. And what shall I more say? So he talks about the fact that out of weakness, people were made strong in the Lord. You see, when we come to a place of weakness, God will break us down and use that broken down place of weakness to build us up and make us stronger. That's what he does. That's how he works. Marvelously, wonderfully, exceedingly. Right? But he uses humility. There's a lot of Christians that don't want to ever seem weak before people, so they don't ask for help. They always insinuate that everything's okay. You got a lot of people that in churches and even online here. Some of you, right? Some of you online here. I'm not picking on anybody because I don't know anything specifically, but what I'm saying is you can give an impression like all is well, everything's great, nothing's wrong. Everything's wonderful. Everything's perfect with my life. I'm the model Christian. I'm not in any sin. Everything's going well. And it could be furthest from the truth. I know some people, people that have marriage problems, and they're too proud to get help. They won't humble themselves to get the help they need with their marriage. So they won't ask help from anybody. And I've watched these people destroy their marriage, not listen to good biblical advice, destroy their marriage, hurt their walk with God, everything else. And why? Too proud. Didn't want to admit that they were wrong. Didn't want to admit there was something wrong with them or something going on that they needed help with. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Look at this. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So God teaches us through these humiliating things a lot of life lessons. There's a lot of lessons through normal life that God has for you and I. But we got to be able to learn. We got to be able to look and see, what is God trying to teach me? Now, don't get too carried away with it and think every time something happens, God is punishing you or trying to teach you. You know, I spilt my tea. I wonder if that's a message from God. I mean, don't get foolish with it or don't get morbid with it. Sometimes God just allows things to happen. Sometimes they're just life. Right? But overall, I look at simple things like this for my life. Like, you know, there's lessons that God has for me in this. There's lessons of humility and not giving up. You know, not quitting because I'm not good at something or it's not easy for me to do. But continuing on in it, fighting on in it. Not quitting. I did that all those years ago. I quit because I was just like, oh, I'm not good at it. I can't get it. My mind and heart wasn't in the right place. Now it is. And now I've learned and now I've had some success. With it, I shot two last year. I shot one this year. I'll get better at it. And my goal is to teach my son and maybe even my daughter. You know, so there's a lot of good lessons to learn, lessons of humility. But, you know, I preach to a lot of people. I teach a lot of people. And I have to practice what I preach. You know, and it's good to be humble and be like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning it. You know, and be willing to learn. Let's talk about that for a second, chain break. I suspect this fear I'm struggling with could be because I'm having to do something very uncomfortable in time of need and help. That is the reason, Chainbreak. Sometimes when we go through deep transitions of time and we get anxious, we get fear, it tends to overwhelm us. Let me show you something that is good. When Paul dealt with young Timothy, he tried to encourage him. Timothy was he wrote to Timothy because he was he wrote to Timothy because Timothy was in fear. Paul and Timothy suffered anxiety. I think Timothy had Martin Lloyd Jones in his book Spiritual Depression covers this very good, and so does, I think Spurgeon might have covered it too, but I'm not sure. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. So Paul is showing his love for him. He's encouraging him. He's saying, look, I love you, Timothy. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace first, then mercy, then peace. Okay? From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul is strengthening Timothy. He's encouraging that I'm praying for you, Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that is in thee also. Now, when people go through anxiety and depression really hard, they tend to forget facts. So Paul is encouraging him, number one, I'm praying for you. Number two, I believe you're a child of God by, you know, the example that you've had, your trust in Christ. We've seen that evidence. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I believe you're real, Timothy. You know, Timothy, when you get anxious, you start, oh, man, maybe I'm not real. Maybe I'm not really a Christian. Maybe I'm not that way. He calls to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You always got to spark people's memories when they have a problem with anxiety or depression or fearfulness of decisions and things like that. You always want to remind them of the stability of Christ and the truth of those things. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Timothy, look, when you're going through anxiety and depression, you're an extremely bad judge of yourself. Just remember that. You'll judge yourself so morbidly and so harshly because you're a bad judge of yourself when you're going through that. But he said to him, I'm persuaded is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. So you're to stir up the gift of God. You got to stir it up. That means you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to stir it up. Go listen to that sermon that I preach, Be Strong and of Good Courage. You got to stir up the gift that is in thee. You got to stir up your spiritual walk with God. You got to stir up that strength and courage from the Bible and your faith. You have to apply the faith to your circumstance. Okay? Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That word for is the same word as because. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God didn't give you that spirit of fear. That's not coming from God. God's not afflicting you with fear. That's coming from your flesh, from your mind, from the devil, from Satan, but it's not from God. See, Timothy was stirred up in his heart with fear. He was anxious. He was fearful. He had a spirit of fear that came over him in the situation he was in. So Paul says to him, stir up that gift of God for God, because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Timothy was ashamed. He was in danger of his anxiety and his fear coming over him, and he was afraid of being persecuted for the faith. Of the testimony of the Lord. He was fearful and he was in danger of drawing back. So Paul says, no, just jump on in. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So you jump into it. Don't be afraid but trust the Lord. Apply biblical principles and jump into it and do what you have to do. Your decisions are based on the Word of God. Now, Chainbreak, you said, I know it's not from God, but my mind has played out every bad scenario. I know, that's anxiety. That's what anxiety does. It plays out every bad scenario in your mind. I want you to understand that is the spirit of fear. That is anxiety. It's also a mental condition. It's anxiety. So you have to do the opposite and not give in to the way you feel, but apply what you know. Not how you feel. What do I know? I know this. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, here's what you apply. What you know, not what you feel. I'm going to say it again to you. Apply what you know, not how you feel. You have to apply what you know. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So you trust the Lord through what you're going through and apply what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, about being saved by the grace of God, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about being a child of God. Do not give in to the way you feel. And do what's right, no matter how you feel. No matter if every feeling in you speaks opposite of the scriptures, you obey the scriptures. You follow the Lord. You follow what's right. You trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. That's a good testimony. I'm glad you're able to get off Paxil like that. That's a blessing. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. God's medicine is better than any of man's medicines. All right, everybody. I got to get out of here. I can't believe I was on for an hour. But good lessons. And hope they help somebody out there today. Hope they help you out there today. God uses God uses my failures and my humility and those things to help others, to encourage you. I'm glad that it can be an encouragement to somebody. I'm going to go try to shoot a deer. You pray for me that I shoot one today. And get it good and get it in time for church tonight. God bless you all. Good to see you on here. I'm glad you didn't all forget about me. I haven't forgot about all you either, so praise the Lord. So good to have you all on here. Good to see Danielle on here and Norma Jean on here. Let's see, who else? Chainbreak on here. Mary! Carl Winters. Nate Gross. What's so gross, Nate, anyway? Brandon. Cindy Crockett. Cousin to Davy Crockett. I don't know if you are, but it just sounds cool. Joe McDonald. Dick Nixon. Cindy. Hope you're doing well, Cindy. You stay out of that hospital. Thomas Havis. Good to see you, buddy. Haven't seen you for a while. Hope you're doing good. Carrie. Let's see. All right, let's see. Jacob Terry, God bless you too. Pilgrim Lady. All right, God bless y'all. Take care of yourselves. You pray for us. Say hi to Troy for me, Cindy. Hope he's doing well. Well, God bless y'all. You take care and pray for our ministry. Pray for our church. We haven't been able to go out much evangelizing because everything's like locked down and nobody's around. So, I don't know. It's weird. Hopefully we'll find something to go out to sometime soon. I'm heading out to go hunting here in about an hour and a half. So you pray for me. All right, everybody. Take care. We'll see you sometime. I don't know if I'll do another broadcast sometime. I don't know. This week, I'm not sure. I don't know. But hey, Mike, how you doing? So anyway, maybe, but this was a blessing. Impromptu, but a blessing. And good lessons. And I'm glad the Lord will use it to encourage some people. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. God bless you all. Take care. We'll talk soon.